Pokemon collectors turn to blockchain records as values surge. Bloomberg reported on April 24, 2026 that Pokemon trading card values have climbed high enough to reshape how collectors store and authenticate their inventory. The piece describes owners moving cards into museum-grade vaults, hiring overnight security, and logging ownership history on public blockchains. The collectibles niche is, per the report, now a multi-billion dollar market. Treating a 1999 holographic Charizard like a Rothko is not a new idea. Using a blockchain ledger as the paper trail behind that Charizard is. Why provenance became the bottleneck graded cards already sit inside tamper-evident slabs from services like PSA, BGS, and CGC. That solved the condition problem. It did not solve the chain of custody problem. A slab can be authentic, while the card inside it has a murky ownership history, an unpaid consignment claim, or a prior insurance dispute. As ticket prices moved from hundreds of dollars to six and seven figures, that gap started costing money. A 2021 PSA 10 Charizard sold at Heritage for $420,000. Cards above $1 million now trade privately on a regular basis. At those stakes, buyers want more than a grading label and a receipt. They want a durable log of who held the card, when it changed hands, and whether any liens sit against it. Blockchain records do not authenticate the physical card. They timestamp a specific claim about it, link it to a wallet address, and make that record hard to rewrite later. For high-value collectibles, that is exactly the missing layer. What the on-chain layer actually looks like. The services Bloomberg references fall into two buckets. The first is a digital twin. A graded card is photographed, its slab serial is hashed, and an NFT is minted that points to that serial. Transfers of the physical card are supposed to trigger transfers of the NFT. Platforms like Courtyard and Collector Crypt run variants of this model, often with vault custody, so the token and the card never separate in practice. The second is a provenance log without custody. A collector keeps the card at home or in a private vault, but publishes sale events, insurance appraisals, and authentication checks to an on-chain record. The record is append only, which means disputes about ownership history have a fixed reference point. Both approaches have trade-offs. Digital twin models solve provenance and custody at the expense of convenience. Retrieving the card usually means burning the token. Pure provenance logs keep custody flexible, but rely on participants to honestly update the ledger. The insurance and tax angle, insurance underwriters and estate planners are the quiet drivers here. A multi-million dollar card collection is an asset that historically has been hard to insure at full value, because provenance and valuation both lean on soft documentation. A wallet address holding signed appraisals, grading records, and sale history tightens the paper trail enough that carriers can price coverage with less discount. Estate and tax authorities benefit from the same structure. A collection that moves through three owners without a clean record invites basis disputes. A verified on-chain history removes some of that friction, though IRS treatment of collectibles tokenized this way is still unsettled in the United States. None of this is a crypto card use case in the spend node sense. It does, however, expand the set of real-world assets that behave a little more like blockchain-native instruments. What this does not fix, on-chain records do not prevent forged cards from being slabbed by a grader and then tokenized. They inherit the authentication quality of whoever handled the card before the ledger entry. If a forgery makes it past PSA, its on-chain twin will carry the same flaw. They also do not solve price discovery. A transparent ownership history can confirm that a 1.2 mer card passed through three legitimate owners. It says nothing about whether 1.2 mellers was a fair mark. Wash trading between related wallets is a known issue in NFT-linked collectibles markets and applies here as well. And there is the obvious tension with physical possession. Collectors who actually like holding their cards are choosing vault custody to get the token benefits. The cards exist, but owners rarely see them in person. Why this matters beyond Pokemon. Watches, wine, and art are watching. Each category has an active tokenization pilot running somewhere, and Pokemon is simply the one where price appreciation has moved fastest. The same provenance toolkit now being built for holographic cards transfers almost directly to a Patek Philippe reference, or a case of Domaine de la Romanée Conti. The broader read is that real-world assets on-chain is no longer just tokenized treasuries and private credit. A meaningful slice of that category is collectibles looking for a reliable ownership ledger, and the infrastructure is arriving from NFT tooling, not traditional registries.